Dude.
Yeah.
Dude!
What?
I just had a terrible thought.
I'm getting fat.
Okay.
The other morning I was getting ready for work. I was putting my pants on. Didn't have a shirt on yet. I looked into the mirror. I swear to God, I looked like a naked homeless man jumping out of a giant cupcake. My pants looked like an anaconda trying to choke down a cow.
Okay.
It's really kind of distressing to me because, you know, I don't really want to be everybody's fat friend. You know, I don't think I have enough energy to be that jolly all the time. But I also have a problem. See, I love to eat. I don't really like to exercise. And I know that sounds pretty obvious, but when I say I love to eat, I don't just mean, you know, I like to eat a lot. I mean, I love to eat. Like, you can compare it to sitting down to watch your favorite movie or listening to your favorite song. I get the same kind of enjoyment, genuine enjoyment out of sitting down with a cheeseburger. Imagine somebody said, like, what's your favorite genre of music?
Rock.
Okay. Imagine somebody said you couldn't listen to rock and roll anymore, ever.
Okay.
Not only could you not listen to rock and roll anymore, but if you were going to listen to music, you could only listen to Celine Dion.
Okay, I see where you're going with this, all right.
And not only can you not listen to rock and roll anymore, and you can only listen to Celine Dion, if you do happen to catch a rock and roll song, like riding around in the car with a friend or something, you got to go jogging every day for a week just to negate the effects.
Oh, fuck that.
That's what it's like.
I got to admit, you had me going there when you were talking about, you know, having your shirt off and pants off. Oh, yes, we're going in that direction.
Well, you have websites for that. And the exercise thing, you know, I mean, I've thought about going to the gym before. I tried going to the gym once, but I can't work out in front of other people.
Really? You went to the gym? When was this?
I went to the gym. It was actually at my thinnest point, which is the funny part, because I was the thinnest I ever was. I went to the gym, and I felt like everyone's eyes were on me. I've got kind of a social anxiety problem to begin with, but... Oh, that was a good one. So, I mean, I'm at the gym, and I feel like everybody's watching me.
Wait a minute. Why were you at the gym?
I went to the gym with an ex-girlfriend of mine.
Okay.
She was going to the gym, and...
I'm just picturing you in front of the gym like, all right, Kyle.
Well, she was...
I can do this.
She was in better shape than I was, so I figured, you know, if she's going to the gym, I should probably try going to the gym. All right,
let's go to the gym. No big deal. Okay.
So I went once, and I was miserable the whole time. I was nervous. Yeah. I didn't know how any of the machinery worked. I mean, I know how a treadmill works, but she got me on the elliptical, and it's supposed to be low impact. It's supposed to be easier than running on a treadmill. I don't know if there's something wrong with my hips or what. I guess I'm getting old because the whole time I was in excruciating pain. She was going to do it for like 27 minutes. I think I made it up to 5. God. I had to get off the damn thing. And it wasn't because I was tired. I was in physical pain. But anyway, so I can't go to the gym because I feel like I'm too fat to go to the gym.
You get really self-conscious.
But I'm too fat to go to the gym because I don't go to the gym.
Yeah.
So... I mean, I've tried working out at home. I tried putting on music. I lift these hand weights. And I mean, they're not the pussy, like, rubber-coated purple hand weights that girls use, but they weren't any bodybuilder shit either.
Oh, man.
And I do sit-ups and stuff, but it's so boring. I can't keep my attention. I tried putting on music, putting on a TV show, putting on a movie, something I can, you know, distract myself with while I'm doing it. But the whole time, I'm thinking of something else I'd rather be doing. And...
Yeah, working out's not fun, ever.
So it's occurred to me... that I'm never going to be thin, at least not permanently, because I just don't think I have the willpower to make that kind of change in my life. And for the record, I don't blame society. I don't blame my genes. I don't think I can't help it. I mean, I know if I were willing to work out and eat right, I could be in great shape. But I just don't have the attention span. I don't have the willpower. And I just fucking love to eat.
Yeah, I think working out is kind of like a hobby for people. And if your hobby isn't that, you're going to have a hard time with it, clearly.
And I think a lot of really skinny people, they don't understand. They think, you know, they see somebody who's a little bit on the hefty side and they think, oh, look at that fat ass, can't fucking help himself. I mean, you don't need that much food to survive. But I don't eat to survive. I eat because it's fun. I mean, I do eat to survive, obviously, but...
Yeah, we all have to eat.
But I obviously don't need...
I see where you're going.
I don't need a double Whopper with cheese...
and bacon.
To make it through the day. But I kind of do. And, you know, being thinner... would make me happy in the long run, but in the immediate future, a nice hamburger will do the trick. So,
do you think it's an addiction?
It's well, see, my feelings on addiction in general are, I think people have it all wrong. People look at addiction like, oh, I can't help myself. Like, people say, I'm addicted to cigarettes. I'm addicted to smoking. I can't quit. It's too hard. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I believe it's hard, but the reason you can't do it isn't because you can't do it. The reason you can't do it is because you don't want to do it.
Yes, I agree.
You might want to do it in theory. Like, it might sound like in an ideal world, I wouldn't smoke. But the problem is you want to smoke. Like I said, with the food, in the long run, you might be happier because you don't smoke. You don't stink of cigarettes. You don't.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who just don't like smokers. So in the long run, you might be happier if you didn't smoke. But in the short term, it makes you feel better to have a cigarette. Yeah. So it's instant gratification. It's not like you can't help yourself, but you don't want to help yourself.
Yeah, and the fast food is the same way. You know, hey, Kyle, want to hit up Burger King? You get that excitement. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And I know exactly what I want. I want that ultimate man burger, the angry Whopper with cheese.
So I was thinking, the only way I could ever actually do that was if I were to replace my eating with something else I enjoyed equally. Like, every time I crave a hamburger or a pizza, there's got to be something else I can do instead that's going to make me just as happy. But the problem is...
The problem is, what is that?
I'm a miserable fucking human being, and I don't like anything that much, really.
Other than that.
Well, see, most of the things that I like equal to that, I already do. I listen to music, I watch movies, I play video games, surf the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of anything that I don't already do that I could replace, you know, French fries with.
Yeah.
But you, on the other hand.
Oh.
You son of a bitch. You are a medical anomaly. Have you ever been checked out by a doctor?
Not that I know. Why?
Orion eats once a day.
Yep.
After sunset.
Yep.
If that. Sometimes he skips a day.
Sometimes I do. Yeah.
He eats the same bullshit I do, but he cannot eat in the morning. He never eats breakfast.
That's true. Yeah, I can't wake up. If I eat after I wake up, I'll throw it up. Yeah, it's just my body. I don't know.
Orion, show me on the doll where Captain Crunch touched you. It's okay. You're among friends.
Just let it all out. I don't think I have a problem.
Just let it all out.
All right.
Why? But really, has it been like that your whole life? You've just never eaten in the morning? Or
if you want to get into it, I think it started when I was in college. Or maybe it went back further than that. Well, I grew up poor, you know, not terribly poor, but, you know, there was never anything in the house to eat. And I, you know, I was young enough where I couldn't drive. I didn't have a job. And I would eat, you know, maybe once every other day or whatnot. And then when I went off to college, I had no job, no car. I'm in this apartment with what, you know, my parents bought me, ramen noodles. And then I'd run out. And I just kind of stick it out. You know, I don't know. It's just the way I was.
Okay, wait, hold on a second. When you were a kid, your parents only fed you once every other day?
Depending up into a point, yeah, they both had jobs. And my mom worked third shift at some point for a while. They never saw each other and they didn't know who.
So one of them thought the other one was feeding you?
Yeah. And
you were too timid to speak up and say, hey, I haven't had any Cheerios in a fucking week.
Yeah. I'm hungry. No, I didn't. I just, you know, I'd just be quiet about it.
You're a good kid, Orion.
Yeah, I was a very quiet kid. Yeah, I think that's why I'm a freak.
Well, hey, I'd trade places with you anytime because holy shit.
Yeah, I don't get the shakes. I don't get nauseous when I don't eat.
I have no idea how much I weigh right now, but I'm thinking about buying a scale. And I was thinking...
You think that'd be...
I was thinking about...
The first step in motivation.
Maybe. I don't know. I would be more motivated if I could see the pounds melt away.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I've done it in the past. I went on basically the Atkins diet once. I went on a low-carb diet.
Yeah.
And it's not the healthiest thing in the world, but it worked.
It worked. Okay.
And I got to eat all the bacon I wanted, which was nice. You know, I didn't really, I mean, I had to give up a lot of shit because you can't have carbs. You can't have hamburgers because they come on a bun. You can't have pizza because it comes on a crust. But you can have, I used to buy packages of pepperoni, like sliced up pepperoni, to put on pizzas, but I would just eat it like potato chips.
Oh, man. That does sound good. Maybe that's the solution.
So I've gone on diets before and it works, but it doesn't work if I don't have some kind of gauge. Like if I can't tell, because you can't tell.
Yeah.
You see yourself every day. You can't tell.
Yeah.
Even when I was at my thinnest point ever, I weighed 175, which for me was really good.
Yeah.
I had no idea till I stepped on a scale that I had gotten down that far. I really had no idea. I thought I was still just as big as ever. And yeah, my biggest was 240. So that's the difference. Wow. The difference between 240 pounds and 175 pounds, and I couldn't tell. Wow. So you can't tell. You see yourself every day. So if I had a scale, maybe I could get into it. Maybe I should make this some kind of thing. I'll give like an update on each podcast. I'll go on the Slim Fast diet, and I'll let you know how I'm doing every week.
That sounds good.
So what's been going on with you?
Work. Rough couple of days. Bullshit. Just been kind of irritable. Had a few bad days this week. Just the people I work with.
Well, tell, you don't have to get too specific, but tell the listening audience what it is you do.
Yeah, I work at a grocery store and I stock groceries. And
all right.
I work with a crew and they're pretty cool, you know, but it's the type of grocery store where they hire everybody. You got your 50-year-old guys that are ornery all the time. They've been there for years, and you got the young kids that are like 18, just, you know, working to get a little bit of money so they can pay for their car and get laid. And then you got, you know, the kids like me, they're just, you know, making money and getting by like everybody else. No real other reason. But it seems like there's always, everyone's a character there, and you can point them out as to...
You ever notice how there are certain people in life that just don't seem like they're actual people? Like, they seem like supporting cast, maybe. I don't know. Like,
exactly.
You can't imagine this person thinking anything in their own head. You know, like, if you're not around to see them acting, they just don't do anything. Like, yes, they disappear when you're not around. There are certain people who are so two-dimensional, I cannot imagine that they have lives of their own. And maybe that just makes me an asshole. I don't know. But and it's not everybody. I have lots of friends that all of my friends, I wouldn't consider that. Yeah,
everybody runs into these types of people.
There are certain people who are so fucking wacky. It seems they've got writers behind them. Like,
do you have any examples?
Oh, well, there's Marshall, the dude you work with.
Yes. Oh, my God, this guy. Very helpful when I came into the job, showing me the ropes, but he's a little fucked in the head. And I knew he was a little off at first, but, you know, he just, yeah, how you doing? Okay. You go out throughout your day, but, you know, as the days go by, it's every day you see this person there doing the same things, and it's, you start to realize, wow, this guy's really, really fucking weird, man. For example, in the back room, you know, I stock groceries. He'll be on the high-low, and I'm just coming in. And I'm looking on the little clipboard to see what aisles, you know, I'm assigned. And I hear the high-low zooming, you know, it's... And then it stops, and there's Marshall with his hand up. And I look over, I'm like, hey, Marshall, how's it going? And he just sits there and stares at me. And I'm assuming he wants a high five. So I slowly reach out, give him a little high five, and he goes...
How you doing, Orion?
And then he speeds off. What the fuck?
Yeah, Marshall's a weird one. I can't, you know, I can't confirm this. I don't know, but I've been told that he is a crackhead, like a literal crackhead. I've been told that he's on crack. And didn't you tell me the other day that he's illiterate and nobody knows it?
Yes.
So he's stocking groceries. I don't know if you've never stocked groceries before. They usually come in just a plain brown box. It might have the name, like the logo of the company or the product on the side of it. It might not.
Yeah, when it arrives, it's in a plain, most of the time, a plain cardboard box with a little shipping sticker on it telling you what it is in really small letters. And it's,
and sometimes the shipping sticker, even for somebody who can read, is kind of hard to interpret.
Yeah, they'll abbreviate. Yeah.
They'll abbreviate like things, chicken, and it's hard to read. And this guy can't read at all. And you have to go through, they ship these cases of like cans of soup, say, and he has to go in the back room and find and he has to go through unopened cases of this stuff and find the one that he's looking for to bring it out to fill the hole on the shelf. I have no idea how he must.
It's amazing.
He must open each box and check, like pull it out and visually confirm that this looks like the product I'm looking for on the shelf.
Yeah.
What does he do if the product is completely out on the shelf? So he has no frame of reference.
I do know he's been in the same department for
That's true. He's kind of an
while.
How old would you say he is? I think he might be in his 50s.
He's got to be like 57.
He's an old dude.
He's a short little old black guy. Real nice. But I noticed that when he stocks items, he grabs them, holds them, flips them around a lot, very aggressively. And I'm assuming, you know, when I saw him do this at first, I was like, this is kind of weird. You know, Marshall's fucked up. Okay, it's just being weird. Then I found out he was illiterate. So I realized he's memorizing what the product looks like.
He's scanning them over, trying to get a mental image.
Yeah,
so amazing. He can confirm it in the back room.
Maybe that's why he's a little nutty. Because that's got to make life fucked up. That's a rough life. I don't know his past, but maybe I'll be a little more forgiving. But he is a fucked up guy, and there a lot of people I work with are a little fucked in the head where I don't know whether to call him out on it. Like, what you just did there is really fucking weird.
I've encountered a lot of people.
Like, I want to go up to him and go, hey, Marshall, did you know you laugh like this? Doesn't that sound funny?
I'm not proud of my laugh or anything, but yeah, there are a lot of people out there that just laugh really strange, and you have to wonder, do they get self-conscious, or do they just not know?
They do a lot of shit that's strange, and we all just kind of put it aside. We don't want to, like, we'll feel like assholes if we go up to everybody we see and we think they're doing something that's a little off, but generally it's pretty extreme, you know, the laugh, the lack of social skills. I get a lot of people telling me, oh man, I'm so hungover. I had a lot to drink tonight. Oh, really? How much did... Oh, man, I went through, like, a fifth of Jaeger. I beer bonged a fifth of UV vodka. Oh, man, that was rough. And then I had, like, three Coronas. And then there was a helicopter chasing me, and the cops, I hid under the bushes. They couldn't find me. I had my M16.
You must really have a friend in Jesus to have made it to work today.
I didn't exaggerate that story.
Someone
I work with actually told me that, and I had to sit there and go, oh, wow, man, rough night. Okay. But deep down, I wanted to say, bullshit, fuck you.
I've known a few people in my life who are apparently compulsive liars. I can't figure out what makes them want to do this, but
gives them the need.
And it's always silly bullshit. It's never. Sometimes it's to impress me, but sometimes I don't even understand where the lie comes from. Like, we have a friend, and he is a friend, and I like him.
Who are we talking
and
about?
And I don't want to name names.
Okay.
But one time he told me he has an uncle. He had a lot of uncles. A lot of his story started out with I have an uncle.
It was always an uncle, yeah.
It was always an uncle. I have an uncle who's a baby doctor, and he told me that this birthmark I have on my arm was because I took a crap in the womb and the shit settled on my arm and stained my arm. Now, if that was supposed to impress me, it really missed the mark.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I know that's not true. That's just, I actually do. I have a cousin who very, very, very close to when she was born actually did take a crap in the womb and it almost killed her. You're not supposed to do that. And if you do that, it doesn't leave you with a beauty mark. And how would it stain your skin anyway? The pigment in your skin is melanin, not shit.
Yeah, if I took a shit on my arm right now, I guarantee you it wouldn't.
Pretty sure it would wash off, at least eventually.
Yeah.
So I don't understand where these lies even come from. Like I said, sometimes it's to impress me. Sometimes it's like, oh man, this weekend I banged 10 chicks. And I don't even remember any of it because beforehand I drank a fifth of gasoline and I jumped off a building and smashed my brains. But then I scooped them back into my head. I guess my friend told me I did this. I get that that's supposed to impress me. It doesn't. Even if I didn't know you were full of shit, I wouldn't be impressed. I think you were an idiot.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the baby doctor shitting on my arm thing. Even if I believed him, I think that would just gross me out. You have shit arm?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It pisses me off that I'm left there, and they exaggerate so much. They have to know, obviously they don't, but they should, that I'm sitting there looking at them, and deep down I'm thinking, this guy is full of shit. I want to tell him, but I'm just going to go along with it because I'm a nice guy. I don't call people out.
Well, that one friend in particular that said he shat on his arm in the womb.
Yeah.
Got pretty mad because I did call him out.
You did call him out.
And I have
What was his response?
Well, it could have been worse, but he swore up and down that it was true, and he got mad at me for calling him a liar, and we pretty much dropped it after that, which is good.
If he was already lying, yeah, he's not going to, you know, fess up. Dude, okay, sorry, dude. I made that shit up.
Oh, you got me.
He's going to defend it to the death.
Which is retarded, because I don't care. If you would have said, oh, okay, you're right. I don't know. Or I guess to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe somebody really did tell him that once and it was a joke and he was too young to understand that it was a joke. I don't know.
That could be possible.
Because I've gotten... my mom once told me, and I swear she wasn't fucking with me. She probably thought this was true. She once told me that The Wizard of Oz was the first colorized movie ever. And I realized that it was back in the day when a lot of movies were black and white, but it wasn't the first one ever.
Ever.
And somebody called me out once later in life because I just remembered this, that my mom told me this, and I regurgitated the information.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, you're full of shit. So it's possible somebody really told him this. He remembered it from when he was young, and he didn't realize it was a joke at the time.
Yeah, but you're man enough to fess up and go, well, actually, I could be wrong. And I think later in life, from what I've noticed, you know, you and me, we'll, if we're not sure about something, we'll just immediately say, you know, I'm not certain, but, and then we'll.
Yeah, I have definitely been wrong about a lot of things in life, and I try to be gracious about it. I'm not always, but usually if I do fuck up, and I get kind of defensive about it in the moment, I'll come back and apologize later. This guy never brought it up again.
Yeah,
he took it. Which is fine. I'm not, if he does happen to listen to this, I'm not mad at you, dude. But it's just a weird thing that we used to go through.
Wasn't there another thing that happened with the same friend?
You'll have to refresh my memory. I'm not sure what you're talking about. There were actually quite a few things that happened with that particular friend.
Yeah, but it was so long ago, I couldn't tell you. But yeah, throughout my life, I've run into many bullshitters, and it's just getting old, man. I'm not old, but it's getting old.
Yeah.
We all go through it, I'm sure. And it pisses me off because I feel like a pussy because I can't call them out. Maybe I need to work on that.
Well, I mean, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, you don't want everybody to hate you. But then again, you don't, you know, after day after day after day of this, you know, like the other day I was at work and I was in my aisle stocking and a guy showed up, another guy that's a bullshitter. He came, hey, Orion. He assumes I'm his buddy, and I hate the motherfucker, but I'm not a dick. You know, I'm very forgiving. So I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, and for a half an hour, I just talked my ear off about bullshit, and I'm just shaking almost because I want to just say, drop it, man. Just every time I see this guy, it's the same shit. It's always bullshit stories to make him feel like he's impressing me. So I feel like, you know, cool, man. You're so cool. I'm glad to be your friend.
Do you really hate this guy or do you like him? He's an okay guy, but you just don't really want to hang around with him and talk to him. Because if you really hate him.
I'm very forgiving. Yeah. I think if I could just sit him down and go, you know, this is what's bugging me about you. And you're an okay guy. Just drop it. You know, it's going to make your life hell because no one's going to like you. Ever.
Because the thing is, if you really, really didn't like the guy, like if it were me, if I really didn't like the guy, I would have said something.
Yeah. If I hated the guy.
I might not have said, fuck you, go away, but I probably would have made fun of him and called him out on his bullshit.
Yeah.
This guy was the one that came up to you and started talking about, didn't he say like, oh, my girlfriend this weekend.
Yeah.
What was it? It was something about drinking.
Throughout the entire summer, every weekend, I have a party booked because I have so many friends.
It's February. He's got a party booked every weekend this summer. Either your friends are really, really organized or you're full of shit.
And then he was talking about this Saturday, one of his friends, it's a girl, is turning 21. And I go, oh, man, you know, I'm just making conversation. I'm like, girls tend to, you know, when they turn 21, the party ends pretty quick because most girls are lightweight. You know, they get those shots in them because, you know, everybody's got to buy.
Yeah, everybody's
shot.
Buying you birthday shots.
The birthday, you know, comes to an end pretty quick. And he goes, oh, no, dude, no, she can hold her own. She pounded this, and this, and she was still partying hard. And
didn't he say she beer bonged a fifth of UV vodka?
Yeah, I think that's where I got that reference. I was just, yeah.
Yeah, dude, they've totally put a funnel
in her mouth.
You
wouldn't believe how many times I hear that. It's like they all go to secret underground meetings about how they can.
How to make friends. tell them you drank a fifth of liquor.
And beer bonged it.
I like a good drink. I like to get pretty drunk, but I'm not impressed by your fictional ability to imbibe an entire fifth of vodka all at once.
And with our wisdom of, you know, all the years of drinking.
All the years. I didn't start drinking until I was 22. I'm 26 now. All the years.
All the years, yeah. You know your limit. You know what you're physically capable of. And it's a limit that most people share because, you know, we're all humans. So when they talk about this kind of shit, I get livid. But
I did once, and this is no bullshit, I drank an entire bottle of wine in one shot. But
wow. All right.
The thing is, I was already drunk. And I was at a party at somebody's house. I had drank a bunch of beer. I'd had some shots of Hennessy, which, by the way, tastes like wood varnish. I don't know why black people love Hennessy so much. I think black people must be like cats in that they have taste buds, but they really don't care about the taste of things. But anyway, enough about enough racism.
Enough racism. We could go on and on about the stereotypes.
Oh, man.
Us working at party stores, yeah.
Oh, yeah, not to get too sidetracked, but yeah, you wouldn't believe how many people there are out there in reinforcing stereotypes.
Oh, every day. And we were...
It's like a part-time job for some of these people.
Yeah.
Got to go punch in and go out and reinforce stereotypes. Oh, I'm just going to take a bucket of chicken down to the 7-Eleven and pick up a 40. So anyway, I'm at this party. I'm already drunk. And I lay down on the floor. And I don't remember whose idea it was. Probably mine, but I wasn't the one doing it. I'm laying down on the floor between a couch and a coffee table. And somebody's sitting on the couch and pouring a bottle of, I think it was cheap wine. It was like Arbor Mist or something. But a full bottle into my mouth. And I'm chugging it. Kind of like beer bonging it, but I didn't have a funnel. And they just kept pouring, and I just kept drinking, and the whole bottle disappeared into my body. But right afterwards, I felt awesome. I got up.
Yeah, you did.
And it was time to go. I went outside, and I puked everything all over the lawn, and I don't remember anything else about that night. So if you did happen to, and that's wine. Wine is not liquor. Wine is not a fifth of vodka.
And if it was Arbor Mist, that what is that?
And Arbor Mist is pussy wine to begin with.
But even chugging a whole beer can get you kind of buzzed.
So I couldn't handle a bottle of Arbor Mist. It came up immediately. I cannot imagine chugging a fifth of
a
vodka
whole fifth.
And
yeah.
living.
You'd be in an alcoholic coma. Oh, man. Yeah. I think the next time I get a bullshitter, I'm not going to call him out. I'm just going to be polite and say, you know, that's cool. I'll believe it when I see it. So what are you doing this weekend? I'm going to buy a bunch of fists and you're going to beer bong them. I'm going to watch it. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah, you want to come over next week? Because, like,
Hey, why not?
I'm going to buy a keg of rubbing alcohol and we're all just going to take turns just doing a keg stand. So if you want to come over, like, I mean...
I told all my friends about you and all the shit you can drink, man. You're so cool. Can you come to my party? They're all looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, you're going to be the entertainer.
Bunch of fifths and beers.
This whole party's centered around you, so you really need to show.
Yeah.
Fucking retards.
Next time. I can't wait. That's a great idea.
Oh, man, this weekend I stapled my dick to a helicopter and flew to Thailand. You wouldn't believe it, man.
You wouldn't believe it.
You wouldn't believe it. These whores were pouring shots down my throat for a whole week. I don't remember shit. I woke up in Sudan. I don't even know where Sudan is.
I woke up feeling fine, dude.
It's weird, though. I've never been hungover in my life. Never. Not even once.
Yeah, you know that one guy I was talking to, the bullshitter we were talking about? Yeah, he claims that.
Never hungover. Never been Ever. Hungover. Dude.
I woke up fine, dude.
Sometimes I inject the alcohol straight into my brain because I think my tolerance is just too high. I don't know, but never been hungover in my whole life.
Yeah, sometimes
assholes.
You know, sometimes you want to punch him in the mouth, or maybe just, you know, give him a slap. This guy just wanted to bend him over and fuck him in the ass.
Ugh. Speaking of drinkers, though.
Yeah.
And speaking of work, I used to work at a 7-Eleven, and I used to see these alcoholics come in every day. We had a lot of regulars, and a lot of them bought alcohol, but you could tell the alcoholics because they always came to the store on their bike.
Yeah.
None of these guys had a driver's license anymore. They did at one point, but they all had it taken away for drunk driving, presumably. And they would come in and they'd buy either a case of beer or, more often than not, the alcoholics would buy 22-ounce bottles of Ice House, and they would buy like 10 of them at a time.
Yeah.
And you know they were going to drink them within the span of like 2 hours, tops.
And I know where Kyle's coming from. Back in the day, I used to work at a privately owned, family owned party store, and Kyle used to work at the 7-Eleven, like right down the street. So we'd meet up later and share stories. And
this one time, this dude came in. I saw this guy every day. Same guy every day. He knew who I was. Every day, he would buy at least a couple of 22s of Ice House, come up on his bike. So one night, he came into the store. I was the only one working. He was the only one in the store. He goes for the cooler. And I don't know what was wrong with me. It wasn't funny, but I guess I was bored. And I said, hey, let me guess. And I put my hand up to my head like I'm trying to predict the future. And I said, 22 Ice House. And
he turns
around and he looks at me. And he's got this look on his face like I just slapped his mother. He looks at me. He's grabbing 22's Ice House with his left hand.
In slow motion.
And
staring at
not
you.
Looking at what he's doing. Looking at me. And he says, how do you know? Yeah, do you know? And I said, dude, you're in here every day buying them. And at this point, I'm kind of scared because he's looking at me like he's already drunk. And that's obvious. He's never been in the store not drunk.
Yeah.
And he's grabbing these beers. And for one thing, I'm nervous that he's going to drop them all on the floor because he's grabbing them with one hand and he's not looking at what he's doing.
Looking. Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm scared he's going to jump over the bar, smash an Ice House bottle on the counter and stab me in the throat. So I'm like, oh, nothing, dude. It's just you're in here every day and you buy them. I don't have a problem with it. I think alcohol is great. Good. Have a good, nice day. But so he comes over to the counter and he says, you think you know me? And we had this little cardboard box of Black and Milds, which are these little cigars, single cigars. And he's pulling them out one at a time. And he's pulling them out with one hand and filling his other hand with them. One after another, he's pulling out these Black and Milds. And the whole time, he's who do you think you are?
Oh, man.
And
that's terrifying.
This dude doesn't have money. I don't know if he's planning on buying all these Black and Milds or if he's just trying to intimidate me or if he doesn't even know what the fuck he's doing. He's pulling these out and he's going, who do you think you are? You don't know me. I'm like, dude, I didn't mean anything by it. It's just you always buy Ice House. I was trying to be cute. I mean, I know it wasn't funny. I don't know why I said it.
Yeah.
By the time he left the store, we were best buddies.
Okay. All right.
The guy's got the memory of a goldfish. He was pissed at me 10 seconds ago, but by the time he left, he was so happy. And I don't even remember what made the change.
Is he normally happy when he comes in?
He's normally a happy-go-lucky dude. He's like, hey, how's it going? Nice to see you. You're a gentleman and a scholar. So I don't even know where I was going with this. But
what? I had quite a few stories, man. It was late. It was almost closing time. And you know, it was like 3 minutes to close and this giant black dude comes in, terrifying. Okay, cool. You know, whatever. Hey, how's it going? Looks at me and then keeps walking. He goes to the beer cooler. He grabs like two cases of beer. He comes up to me in slow motion. And it was just kind of scary because I'm looking at him kind of like, because why the slow motion? He's staring me down. He's got like these light caramel eyes that are just blazing through my soul. And he sets them down and he goes, I'm not going to pay for these. You got a problem with that? And I said,
what a badass.
I wish I had a recording of how I said it, but I go, no, dude. no problem, dude. Have a good night. And he left, and I was so scared. This guy was like 8 feet tall, gigantic. And I have other stories, but that one really scared me.
It's funny because most people who are going to steal, they try to hide it, or at least they try to just get in and get out. This dude's like, I'm fucking stealing.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And then I told my boss, who was my uncle, the next day, and he goes, what the fuck? You didn't call the police? You just let him walk out with, how much was it? And I'm like, fuck you.
What did he walk out with, a case of beer?
He never worked nights, my uncle.
I'm sure the cops would have been all over it.
Yeah, he worked in the morning when all the old people would show up and buy newspapers. That's all you would sell, because I took a shift once. That's all you sell is newspapers. And then I come in, I take, you know, the midday shift to the night shift, and you get the creepies, you know.
Well,
fucked up guys.
Now that I think about it, the dude was black. The police might have been all over it.
We were in kind of a hick town. Yeah.
I mean, he probably actually got arrested later that night just for something unrelated.
Yeah.
Sir, you're going to have to come with me. You were doing five over the speed limit.
You ever get bored at work?
Of course.
Oh, man. When I got bored that one day, some days would just drag. And you don't get a break. I don't know. Did you ever get a break?
7-Eleven is the only job I have ever had.
You don't get a break.
That didn't give me a single break.
You're just there 8 hours.
I was there for something like 3 years, and I never got a break.
Never got a break. Yeah, most of the time you're the only one there.
I thought it was the law, and I'm not a pussy. I didn't say to my boss, "Hey, it's the law. I have to have a break." Yeah. But I never got a break, and it used to piss me off too, because at the time I wasn't a smoker, and everybody else I worked with was.
Oh, so that your like coworker would go,
and it'd usually be two of us at a time, and my coworkers would be out there every 15 minutes smoking a cigarette. And somebody once told me, "Well, hey, if you ever want to take like a candy bar break, go for it." Well, that's not the fucking point.
What a fucking dick.
Oh yeah, I gotta have a Snickers. You're gonna have to man the register.
Fuck you.
It's just annoying, you know. I never got a break, and they always used to schedule me. I worked second shift, and they'd schedule me 4 to midnight, and it was always me. They'd schedule the other person like 4 to 10.
Yeah.
Every single time it was always me, and I was always there till 1 in the morning because the other person left at 10 and I was alone.
Yeah.
And you would think from 10 to midnight at 7-Eleven, it's not that busy, but You'd be surprised.
Yeah, and after you got out, like, I'd come to pick you up, and we'd go hang out. You wouldn't leave at midnight. You'd have to, like, stock the cooler and do some other
thing. That was
you'd
the biggest
thing.
More
work.
I'd have to fill the cooler. That was the biggest thing.
Which because is bullshit, because the third shift guy, what's he doing?
From 10 o'clock at night to 2 in the morning,
yeah.
It's constant beer runs. There are constantly people in there looking for beer. So stocking the cooler was a pain in the ass.
No,
like I said, that one guy would come in there and buy like 10 ice houses at a time.
Yeah, that's most of the shelf. Yeah.
He wasn't the only one that did that.
Yeah, oh God.
We had at least 3 different dudes that came in every day on their bike. And I don't know, they must have had like a basket on the front of their bike or something because they would ride out of there with 10, 22-ounce bottles every time. And they'd come in more than once a day.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'd get bored at work. You know, you'd have those days, like I was saying, you just, it'd be slow, and you don't get a break, so you're just behind the counter all day. And I'd either, you know, put a nudie magazine behind, like, you know, J14, the teen magazine, you know.
Nice.
Or.
Because nobody's going to blink an eye at you reading J14.
Yeah.
This looks totally normal.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, go on.
Anyway, well, I was bored one day, and I had noticed this guy. Every other day he would come in, but before he came in, the fucker would go through the ashtray outside, and he'd look for, like, you know, a cigarette that somebody put out before it was done.
Right.
And he'd put it in his pocket, come in, get his beer, and leave.
Is this like a homeless guy or just kind of a dirty old
man? It was like a dirty old guy on a bike, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay, so just an alcoholic.
Alcoholic, you know. Well, anyway, it kind of bugged me. I don't know why. It was back in the day, you know. Well, one day I was really bored, so it had to have been midsummer, and I had a fuckload of bottle rockets at home.
Right.
So I took a bottle of rocket to work, because I knew this guy might show up. I just, you know, left it at work.
These are like the little, really thin, like...
Little thin ones, you know.
About the thickness of a cigarette.
Yeah, and I broke off, I took the stick off, I bought a pack of smokes, you know, when I was working, and I didn't smoke at the time, but I bought a pack of smokes, took a cigarette out, emptied the tobacco, put the bottle rocket in the cigarette tube, filled the tobacco back in the tube, and then snipped off the little wick right to the point where you couldn't see it, and I went outside and put it in the ashtray, and sure enough, the guy showed up like an hour later, and he's going through it, oh my God. And he seemed, you know, oh, I found this full. He puts it in his pocket, comes in, gets the beer, and leaves. But I have no idea what happened to him. He never showed up again.
Well, I have an idea of what might have happened to him. You're probably a murderer.
Can you imagine?
You sure you want me to put this show up on the internet? Just kidding, police. That didn't really happen.
Yeah, I'd get really bored. Yeah.
Well, I can't say I ever murdered anybody on the clock, but. Off the clock, that's a different story, but...
It was kind of weird he never showed up again.
I used to dye my hair green. I used to dye my hair all kinds of colors.
Yeah,
and I realized that's, you know, that's kind of a weird thing. That's not societally normal. It's not societally accepted. And
and
it's weird, and people are going to comment, and that's fine. And I also realized that people are going to see it and think, oh, you're looking for attention. And maybe to a certain extent, I was, but...
Yeah.
I did this when I worked at 7-Eleven, and every day... We live in Michigan. And in Michigan, MSU, Michigan State University, and U of M, which is the University of Michigan, are big, like, college teams. People follow the sports.
Yep.
And the specific area we lived in, there were a lot of MSU fans. And their school colors are green and white. So I had green hair. And there were two lines that I would hear over and over every day. It was either... Well, actually, there were three. It was either, did you lose a bet?
The old man.
You a big State fan? Did you do that for State? Or, is it St. Patrick's Day already?
Oh, God.
Everybody thinks they're a fucking comedian.
Yeah, fuck you. What did you end up saying? You can't
fine.
Say, fuck you.
It's fine. I mean, most of the time, I was fine.
Yeah.
I'm pretty laid back. I'd say, oh, no, I didn't lose a bet. I just like doing it. Yeah. Or... No, I really don't follow sports. Or, you know, is it St. Patrick's Day already? No, it's February.
No, dummy, silly goose.
Yeah, you silly. But this one night, I'd had it all day long, every day, for probably a month. And this lady comes in. I'm working with another dude. Both of us are behind the counter at the time. This lady comes in. She looks me right in the eye. Huge grin on her face. I could tell she was really proud of herself for what she was about to say. And she says, oh man, is it St. Patrick's Day already? And I'm not the kind of guy to lose my shit, but I'd been hearing this all day, every day, for at least a month. And I stared her right in the face, blank expression on my face. And then I went, ha, 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 ha. And I wandered into the back room laughing like that. Ha, 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 ha. And I didn't come back out until she left.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I asked the guy I was working with what she said after I walked out. And he said,
what'd she say?
He said she got this like deer in the headlights look on her face. And she said, is he all right? What did I say? I felt a little bad because, I know.
No, fuck her.
I know. People aren't funny and they like to be funny. They live to be funny.
She inevitably had it coming, man.
It wasn't her fault.
Someone had to
God
be the victim.
Damn it. Somebody had it coming. I'm pretty lucky that I didn't get talked to about that. I don't think my boss ever knew. The weird thing about the 7-Eleven I worked at was they had security cameras. That's not the weird thing. That's normal. But my boss, it was a privately owned 7-Eleven. A lot of them are corporate owned, but this one was a franchise. It was privately owned. And my boss had a direct feed from the security cameras running into her house.
Oh, yeah.
She could watch the security cameras on TV anytime she wanted. And there were a couple times where, like, one time me and a friend of mine, we took these, I want to say flashlights, but I don't know what we were doing with flashlights behind the counter. But anyway, we had these things, and we were pretending to have a lightsaber battle. We were the only people in the store. I'm not even that big of a Star Wars fan, but it was fun. And we were pretending to have a lightsaber battle. And the next day I came into work.
Oh, no.
They pulled me aside and they said, hey, could you come into the back room with me for a minute? And I'm like, sure, what's going on? And they turned the monitor on and they play the tape back for me. It's me and my friend going.
That's not even that bad.
And they're like, do you have anything to say for yourself? And I was laughing. I was like, it was fun. I don't know. we were having a good time. You could have been scrubbing down the hot dog grill.
Fuck.
Well, okay. All right. So anyway, I mean, so they could watch this whenever they wanted. So I'm really lucky I didn't get fired that day. But man, customers are dicks.
Yeah, anyone that's worked in some kind of customer service hates people in general.
You want to know one of the easiest ways to tell if a customer is a dick, even if they didn't actually do anything at that particular point, but you know to watch out for this person if they come in again?
What's that?
If you ring them up, you take their money, you give it back to them, or you give them their change, you know, you give them their receipt, they're about to leave, and you go, hey, thanks a lot, have a nice day. And their response is, you're welcome. I know, you know, when you're a kid, your parents teach you, you know, when somebody says thank you, you say you're welcome. But when you're working in a store, and you say, thanks a lot, have a nice day, and they say, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
That person's an asshole.
Yes.
Every time, without fail. Even if they were fine that time, they will be back later. They will shove their dick in your mouth in some form or another. Every time, without fail.
Oh, man.
So just to let you know, in case you're one of those people, the correct response is some variation of, yeah, you too. You know, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Have a nice day. You too. You know, it takes very little effort.
Yeah.
You're welcome is not the proper response. You didn't actually do me a favor just now. You fucking asshole. I didn't say thanks a lot. Have a nice day because I am very sincerely grateful for you coming in and buying a Snickers bar and a pack of gum. I am not eternally grateful to you for allowing me to break your $100 bill for a 25-cent pack of Wrigley's.
Oh, God.
That's another way you can tell you're dealing with an asshole.
That's another topic. Oh, God.
Man. And that reminds me of another thing. I was working one night, and it was torrential downpour outside.
Yeah.
It was raining cats and dogs, and it may have been literally raining cats and dogs. I couldn't tell because I couldn't see out the window. It was raining so hard.
Yeah.
And this dude, the place is empty. This guy, I see him run over the curb, pull into the parking lot, get out of his car. You can't. It's like there was a flood warning.
Yeah,
that's how bad it is. Like
Jesus.
The rivers were going to overflow because it was raining so hard. This dude pulls over the curb because he can't see where he's going. Pulls into the parking lot, gets out of his car, comes in, grabs a 25-cent pack of gum, comes up to the counter, wants to check out. What is wrong with you? And I knew that we went to high school with the guy, so I knew he lived nearby. So it's not like, oh man, I just got to get out of this weather.
What
I can't
was
see
going
what
on in his head? He's like at home. Fuck! I forgot to get that pack of gum. Or
oh man, my mouth is only half as minty as I want it to be.
My mouth is so dry. Fuck it.
And then he was talking to me about how bad the rain was.
Of course.
Well, it's a good thing you're out there driving around looking for gum. fucking douchebag.
Yeah, douchebag of the week.
And I had a guy come in once with a $100 bill, wanted to buy a 25-cent pack of gum and cash. You know, he wanted change is what he wanted.
Change, yeah.
And we have a sign on the door that says we only keep $40 in the register.
Really?
Something like that. It was in the double digits, and it wasn't anywhere near $100.
Yeah.
And I said, dude, I can't do it. If you really, really, really need to do it, maybe we can wait like an hour, and I can save up the money. We're not supposed to do that, but maybe I can. But I just don't have it. I can't do it. Yeah. He said, it's legal tender. You have to take it. Well, I can take it, but if you want change...
It's not going to happen. Yeah, I got that a lot. We didn't have a sign out front because we were, you know, like a local business, but...
It's just fucking common sense, though. I mean... I feel bad if I spend a $50 bill at like a fast food place. I always ask, I'm like, can you change this?
Yeah.
If you can, I can pay with my credit card or something.
What a fucking dick.
I don't expect you to ask, but I mean, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime that happened to me, I would just, you know, I'd go, dude, I don't have it in the drawer. It's not going to happen.
And after you tell them you don't have it, they're still fighting with you. Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to make it? Yeah. I can print out some blank receipt paper and draw some dollar signs on it. I'm a pretty good artist. I might be able to do a pretty good rendition of Abraham Lincoln, give you some fives. Don't think you're going to be able to spend them.
Yeah. Jesus.
All I've got is this counterfeit money marker. It's going to be kind of like a yellowy brown black color. So I don't think it's really going to fly, but I can try.
Oh, man.
Douchebags.
Well, enough about work. Let's jump into the story we were on.
Okay. All right. Florida doctor investigated in badly botched abortion. 18 and pregnant Cycloria Williams went to an abortion clinic outside Miami and paid $1,200 for Dr. Pierre Jean-Jacques Renelique to terminate her 23-week pregnancy. Okay, so this girl...
Summarize this, yeah.
This girl goes in, she's 23 weeks pregnant, she goes in to get an abortion. She sets it all up, gets an appointment for 3 days later, she goes in, she takes the medicine for...
To dilate
her cervix, and they're waiting for the doctor. The doctor's not there. So they're waiting and they're waiting.
He's running late, yeah.
They called the doctor. I guess they got a hold of him. I don't know. But he doesn't show up. Basically, he just never shows up.
Yeah.
And at some point, she goes into labor. And she delivers a baby right there. I don't know if it was in the lobby or if she was in an operating room. It said she had delivered it on a recliner. So I don't know if she was in the lobby or what. But
yeah.
She delivers the baby. It comes out. One of the owners of the clinic, who doesn't have a medical license, cuts the cord with a pair of scissors, puts the baby into a biohazard bag, and throws it in the trash.
The police discover it a few days later.
Like a week later or something. Later. And so now Cycloria Williams is suing the doctor's office, is suing the doctor specifically.
The doctor specifically.
For medical malpractice, I guess. Which I understand. People have been freaked out about this story because it sounds monstrous. You know, oh my God, they threw a baby in the trash.
Yeah.
And I think I might be alone here, but I think it's all bullshit. Here's the thing. You want to sue for medical malpractice. They fucked up. Go right ahead. But they're also talking about a homicide investigation. She went there to have her baby killed and thrown in the trash. She went there, got her baby killed, and thrown in the trash.
That's right.
I don't see the problem. It's either homicide or it isn't. All of a sudden, because it's not in the womb anymore, it's a person. I mean, abortion's a tricky issue. And a lot of people will say, crazy people will say, that it's a baby, it's a human life at conception. Those people are crazy. A cluster of stem cells is not a human being. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say 100% for sure, but to me, what it comes down to is the brain. The brain is what makes a human being. If you take the brain out, it's not a person anymore, it's just a pile of shit. You can replace, in theory at least, every other organ in the body with a machine, but if you take the brain out, that's not a person anymore. So it all comes down to the brain. The brain is the key. Now, the tricky part is, at what point in the brain's development does it become a person? Because, you know, a cluster of neurons does not a human being make. But at some point, it becomes a person. At some point, it has a brain, a functioning brain, and it's a person. This thing was 23 weeks along, and according to the article that I read, that's long enough for it to have survived outside of the womb. It was really premature.
It was premature.
But it could have survived. It came out. It took a breath of air.
Yeah, the autopsy showed it had air in its lungs.
Which meant that it took a breath. So the thing was born alive, and it could have survived under the right conditions. To me, they probably never should have approved the abortion in the first place. But that's not really the issue. And I'm not anti-abortion. As I said, a cluster of stem cells is not a person. You want to have an abortion, I'm okay with that. It should be your last resort. It shouldn't be a form of birth control. But I don't have a problem with people who have had an abortion. I have a problem with people who have had babies killed. And in this particular case, it sounds to me like this girl was going to have a baby killed. But that's kind of beside the point, because the point is, she went in to get her baby killed, and they did it wrong. And now everybody's freaking out because the baby was born before they killed it. But the end result is the same. And I don't understand how it wasn't a homicide if they did it in the womb, but now because the baby slid out of her vagina, had a chance to cough up some amniotic fluid, all of a sudden it's a person, and it's homicide.
Now, was this legal in the first place?
Yeah, this is a legal abortion. There's no mention of any kind of you know, shady business, aside from the fact that they dealt with the abortion wrong. And the doctor, by the way, says that he was on a medical emergency, and that's why he didn't make it to the clinic. He might be trying to cover his ass. He might be full of shit. I don't know. He probably is, actually, to be honest. But he said he had an emergency. He couldn't make it to the clinic. You would think that they would have some kind of contingency plan, maybe another doctor or a nurse or something that could have taken care of this. I don't know why one of the owners of the clinic, who doesn't have a medical license, was wandering around making medical decisions. So that is a problem, and I can see suing for that. But the bottom line to me is the girl went in there, and she was fine with it when they were going to shove a crazy straw up her snatch and suck the fucker out. But because it came out and winked at her, all of a sudden, it's a problem. All of a sudden, she named it. She named it Shanice. Is she mute? Did she not get a chance to go, oh, don't put that in the oh, it's in the bag. Like, what happened?
That's a good point.
Well, I guess you already put it in the trash can. Nothing we can do now.
Oops.
I don't understand.
I think it's bullshit that she's suing because she went in there in the first place, like you said, to have it killed, and that's what happened. So why, you know, she suddenly changed her mind. Well, she was already under some kind of contract. She paid the money. Ugh, whoops. And then they're charging the doctor who wasn't there with murder. This was already a legal thing. All right. It was handled very badly. But what's going on? This is ridiculous.
Hey, if you want to challenge the definition of abortion, fine. I'm fine with that. But that's not what the case is about. The case is about this doctor fucked up. And he didn't even fuck up. He wasn't even there. They're thinking about charging the doctor with murder. And he wasn't even there. Granted, he should have been there. But he didn't come, cut the umbilical cord, throw the baby in a sack, and throw it in the trash. That was somebody else.
That's like it's like me going somewhere, shooting someone, and you were supposed to be there. And you're getting charged with murder.
And by the way, it is an abortion clinic. What did she want them to do with it? I don't know that much about an abortion clinic. Maybe they do have incubators on hand, but I'm guessing they don't deliver a lot of intentional pregnancies at an abortion clinic. I'm guessing people don't usually go there to deliver their baby and take it home with them. So what did she want them to do?
Yeah.
The thing was super premature. In fact, they listed the cause of death as extreme prematurity, which is another thing I kind of have a problem with, because the baby didn't die of youth. The baby didn't die of being born too early. The baby, did it bleed to death? I heard they didn't clamp off the umbilical cord and it bled out. Did it bleed to death? Did it suffocate because its lungs were underdeveloped and it couldn't pump the oxygen in and out?
Yeah, had a problem
did it
with
starve
that too,
to
yeah.
death? Did its organs fail? What happened? It didn't die of being premature. That's like saying if a guy jumps off a building and smashes into the ground, he died of falling over.
He died of old age. He was just old. I had a problem with that, too. That made no sense. I don't know what's going on in Florida.
Supposedly, this Dr. Renalik has had at least 5 medical malpractice suits in the past decade. So he probably was just trying to cover his own ass when he said, oh, I had an emergency. I couldn't make it. Although that makes me wonder why he didn't make it. You know, I've got an abortion appointment and I had to stop at a party store. What could he have been doing?
Who knows?
Oh, I forgot. Sorry, guys. I got really wasted last night. I totally shotgunned a fifth of vodka, so you know how that is. No hangover, though. I don't know. How do you feel about abortion in general? What's your stance?
My stance ultimately is, well, I'm for, you know, I'm pro-choice, but...
That's another fucking thing. Sorry to interrupt, but pro-choice and pro-life. Who made up these fucking terms?
Yeah.
Pro-choice, think about them out of context. Just take them at face value. You've got pro-choice on the one hand. That sounds pretty good. I like choices. You know, that's cool. But then you got pro-life. Fucking game over. Of course I'm pro-life. Give me a fucking break. Pro-life. Who the fuck made this shit up? People who are pro-choice are not pro-abortion. They're not standing outside of regular clinics going, take your baby to the garbage can.
That's why these debates get so heated, because everybody, they're missing the point, because... I shouldn't have put it that way. I'm not pro-choice as opposed to pro-life.
You weren't wrong. Those are the correct terms. I just hate those terms, I think. But that's such bullshit. Yeah. That's like if you're talking about the death penalty. And on the one hand, you've got people who are pro-capital punishment. And on the other hand, you got people who are pro-good times. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I support a woman's right to choose, but I don't really have a strong view on this, because it's just, there's too much bullshit involved. People get too angry, and it happens, but it hasn't happened to me or anyone I know. So I'm not going to be the asshole that picks one side or the other. I support a woman's choice, but if it's 23 weeks into the pregnancy, in this case, it didn't bug me. I didn't know the kid. I didn't know her, whatever, but fuck, what are you thinking, you know?
See, my...
I won't establish myself as, you know, in stone on an issue like this that I have never experienced myself.
I guess I'm pro-choice. I mean, I understand everybody makes mistakes, you know, and shit happens. Maybe you were doing all the right things. Maybe you were using birth control. Maybe you were using a condom. The condom
broke.
There's
a lot of maybes in there.
Even the pill is only 99% effective. Maybe you missed it one day and you thought you'd be fine, and you get pregnant and you're like, I really, really just can't be pregnant right now. I don't have a problem with it up to a certain point, because like I said, it's not a baby. Like, if you want to call a fertilized egg a baby, you might as well call a sperm and an unfertilized egg a couple halves of babies.
Yeah.
Like, I'm committing half a genocide every time I jerk off. But what I do have a problem with is people who say, it's my body, it's my choice. It's not your body. That's not the issue. We're not talking about your swollen belly. We're talking about the shit inside there. If, like I said, it hasn't turned into a baby yet, then fine. You know what? Do what you gotta do. If it is a baby, that means there's another person inside you, and it is no longer your body, your choice. All of a sudden, it's somebody else's body and your body, and apparently your choice. That's what I have a problem with. Some people are too extreme with the abortion thing. Like, fuck it, it's my baby. I'm going to kill it if I want. And the thing is, I also, I'm not one of those people who's like, well, you should just carry it to term and give it up for adoption. Because not every baby gets adopted. And once it gets past a certain age, nobody wants it. It ends up growing up in an orphanage or bouncing around foster homes and becomes a serial killer. And
yeah, walk a day in a kid's shoes that, you know, that hasn't been adopted. That's a fucking orphan.
I know there are plenty of parents out there who want to adopt kids.
Yeah.
But there are also plenty of kids who never get adopted.
There's not enough, yeah.
We don't have a shortage of children.
That's for sure.
Anyway, the bottom line is, you can't go to an abortion clinic to have them give you an abortion and then get mad when they give you an abortion. There's no magical switch that turns a fetus into a human being when it passes through your snatch. It's the same thing as, like turning 18. I know I'm getting a little off track, but people, when you turn 18, you're an adult. When you're 17, you're a kid.
Yeah.
There's not some magical switch that turns you into a responsible adult when you hit 18. All of a sudden you can make all these decisions. It's an arbitrary thing that we've assigned as a guideline. And when you pop a baby out, we consider it born. We count their age from the day they were born. Really, if you want to get technical, we ought to count age from the date of conception, because that's when it first started turning into a person, but we count it from the day they were born. But that's kind of arbitrary.
It is.
There's nothing about squeezing a baby through your vulva that makes it into a person. But apparently this girl sees this baby and all of a sudden it's real to her. And I can kind of understand that, you know, in the past it was always an abstract thing in her head. Her belly had kind of gotten big, but other than that, she had no physical evidence of this thing. And then maybe she sees it and, oh, it is a baby, isn't it? Aw. But fuck you. You went in there to get it killed, and you got it killed.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck you, bottom line.
We're going to get some hate mail for this. Speaking of, we got a couple of email accounts set up. You can email me at kyle@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
And you can email me at orion@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
You can check out our blog at ijusthadaterriblethought.com. And you can check us out on iTunes, hopefully, by the time this goes up. And I think that's going to conclude this episode of I Just Had a Terrible Thought. Thanks for listening. Check us out next time.
This is Orion.
Peace out, homies.
Booyah!